Aeneas Hawkins is here. How do you evaluate Saturday?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because, you know, there are no moral victories in college football, man. This is an unforgiving game. But, you know, realistically, I think for 3.5 quarters, those guys really battled their tails off. I saw both sides of the ball do some good things. They played physical, man. They competed, as they always do when they play Ohio State. Those guys seemed to get up for that game. Just wish they could have found a way to go win that game at the end there.
All right. When you watch a game, do you watch the totality of the game, or do you find yourself locking in on line play because of the position you played?
Yeah, it's a little easier when the offense is on the field. I'll kind of watch from a fan's perspective there and just watch them play. But, you know, when it gets to crunch time and the defense is on the field, of course the first thing I'm looking at is the D-line. Those are my guys, the front seven. And then when the ball goes in there, just like everybody else, then my eyes go to the secondary. So it's a little bit different probably.
You get into a game like that and there's 9 minutes to go and you're in the lead. What's a sideline like when you get a moment and go in front like that? And then what does the determination then become for the defense in a moment like that?
Yeah, obviously, as you may expect, it gets electric. Going into that last segment there with the lead, in control seemingly, everybody's jumping. And defense specifically is such – it's a group that's so contingent on energy and contingent on people playing hard and being passionate about what they're doing. So, you know, having a lead when you're not supposed to have the lead just fires that group up. And there's really no other way to describe it other than just passion and energy.
How much of what we saw after that is really a testament to Ohio State and what they're capable of?
Yeah, I think it just goes to show the type of ceiling that they have in comparison to 99.9% of the other teams in the country. Most other programs can't play as they did the first three quarters and keep it close and then take the top off like they did. And again, the talent level really seems to just take over at the end. I hate to be so general, but, you know, we talk about, you know, watching the defensive line play at the end. I just didn't see a whole lot of pressure on C.J. Stroud. He was so comfortable back there. And then guys like Marvin Harrison Jr. do what they do. So I definitely think it speaks to the talent that they have in the program.
Sometimes, and this is only just a generality, you feel like, quote, the adults, coaches and so forth, and they got to get back to work, but they take it really hard. And sometimes the players seem to bounce back easier. Is that, it's a generality I just made. Is that true or not?
You know, I think people just maybe don't see how players kind of go through their week. Obviously, it hurts to lose coach, player, fan. But the players feel it too. But at the end of the day, when Tuesday comes around, you're on to the next. You got to go and prepare for your next opponent. So it kind of creates a short window right there where you can't really be upset for too long. You have to find ways to move on and improve. Because if you sit around too long in the same place, you get beat twice by the same opponent. That's something we heard Coach Franklin say after the Michigan loss. I'm not concerned that's something that the coaches or the players will struggle with, though.
Okay. You look at, Sean's been the quarterback and continues to be the quarterback, obviously. You know, give us just a locker room feel about how you feel about, you know, the guys and how they feel about Sean Clifford as their quarterback.
Yeah, there was never really a time, as I've seen it, that anybody in that locker room questioned Sean Clifford as a leader. 6-year guy, you know, those guys will battle for him through the ups and the downs. There's never really been a question, and to me that's the most important thing. I'm sure Sean hears the jeers that he gets from the crowd sometimes. He hears what the Monday morning quarterbacks have to say, but he's going to continue to show up and prepare, and as long as he's doing that, I don't think there will be a time those guys don't buy into Sean Clifford. And again, you know, just evaluating his body of work over the course of the season, it's been primarily positive in terms of the numbers he's putting up, the way he's leading the offense. And I think his work is what's keeping the team bought into him.
Hey, and that's the reason I brought up the question. You can give everybody the locker room perspective. Oh, what happens in the locker room? Well, guess what? His guys. Yeah. Support him, and he supports them.
I'll also say, you know, just from a fan's perspective, I would assume it's easier to evaluate bad quarterback play when you see it. It's so apparent when you throw a bad interception, when you turn the ball over. The guys in the locker room are watching film of everybody. it's not just Sean Clifford who had a tough performance on Saturday at the end. There were other players who got beat in times that it counted. So I don't think players hyper-fixate on just one person. And they kind of see the total picture more so than a fan may be able to.
Because you're getting your own report card.
No doubt.
And you are worried about your own report card. I mean, over and over again, you worry about your own report card.
Yep.
No question about that. You get into a game like Saturday coming up, pace is going to be critical in this. So how do you need to approach it when you know their team wants to go fast as opposed to Iowa, which just, that's okay, we'll huddle up here, we're good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tempo is the great equalizer on the field because, you know, when the offense is going fast, if you get caught on your heels, number one, they can go score quick. Number two, everybody's exhausted, right? The key to beating a tempo offense is to go in with a plan specifically for tempo. I know Brent Pry used to do it. I'm sure Manny Diaz is doing the same thing where we would go in with what we call tempo calls. That way, if they do go fast, there's no sense of panic by the defense. They look right over to the sideline. There's like a sheet of six or seven calls that they may get, and they get lined back up and go play ball again. But if you get caught without a plan against a tempo offense, that's when it gets tough.
Now let's get to number three.
Okay.
Number three is you get a three and out, and you're off the field in 45 seconds.
Get off quick, man. Keep your legs fresh.
I mean, that's why you look at Indiana's numbers. They're averaging 24 minutes of possession a game, the opponent 36. That's part of what we're talking about here.
That is very much what we're talking about. And I think, you know, the other side of it is Penn State's offense can adjust if need be. I think it's going to be really important to get the run game going where possible because then you can kind of control that clock and you can kind of get your defense some extra rest where you see that they need it. That's where, again, you know, Coach Franklin always harps on all three phases of the game playing together. That's one area that you can see it.
Penn State has gone into dramatic atmospheres over and over again this season. Blackout at Purdue, orange out at Auburn, maize out at Michigan. That's not this.
Right.
With all due respect to the fine people in Bloomington, you know, the ones that show up the games really want to be there. But that's not this. What does it take to generate your own juice when you don't have maybe as much juice in the stadium?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the emotional roller coaster of a season. And this is on the bottom of the list of games to be excited about on the outside looking in. You have to keep it about your goals and your big goals that you have. Obviously, 1-0 is the focus, but at this point, this team is playing for the potential to go play in a New Year's Six game and to finish with two losses. So you have to keep it about that. It's tough because there aren't going to be a bunch of fans in there. It's not going to be a super hostile environment. And it can be easy to kind of let your guard down. And those are the games you have to be careful about realistically. Coach Franklin always says it's our 150 versus however many show up. He does a good job of getting players geared up for games that they aren't naturally geared up for. So
right.
I think they'll be fine with that.
Right. I just sometimes you go in there, it's like, okay, like take Michigan. Joey Porter Jr. could not hear, no matter what all of you think out there, because I talked to Joey about it, okay? So he says, Steve, honest to goodness, I never heard the whistle. Yeah. There's 111,000 people there.
Yeah.
I can assure you in Indiana, with all due respect to, again, their crowd that wants to be there, he'll be able to hear the whistle.
He'll hear the whistle.
Right, and that's the difference, which means you have to generate your own emotional juice of like, yeah, it's us against them. It's us against, well, I can't really hear you.
Right.
And I think that the generating your own juice, where does the personal pride part come in to allow you to generate your own juice, going back to the report card statement we talked about?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, at the end of the day, that film's going to get evaluated one way or the other. Every rep counts. There are no games off. And for a lot of those guys, you know, they're in the mindset of, okay, this is film that NFL scouts are going to be evaluating too. Mm-hmm. So there really is not a time that personal pride can't take over. Every clip matters. But again, you know, I think the biggest thing just comes down to the goals that you set for yourself and for the team of the season, and keeping that at the front of your mind. Because really, if you do that, then it doesn't matter who you're playing. You get the same product every time. That's what the best players can do, and they find ways to be consistent even when a stadium is flat, even when the game seems insignificant.
What kind of role can the offense play in a game where the other team wants to play tempo?
Yeah, like I said, running that ball when they need to keep their defense off the field. Now, if they're getting a bunch of three and outs and it doesn't matter, then cool.
Yeah.
Go hammer them. Throw that ball around, air raid, do whatever you got to do. But again, finding ways to control that clock, keep their offense off the field, it's going to help everybody involved.
Then get some takeaways.
100%.
Getting some takeaways. That's one thing in this game against Ohio State. You know, you're talking about for the first 51 minutes of the game, Penn State gave up a touchdown and three field goals to that offense. That's it.
Yep.
Right? But they didn't get a takeaway.
Yep.
Right? It's like, oh, I mean, that was the end of
It's so crucial, man. I think Saturday is like the perfect case of this is why you take care of the football and this is why you have to go take it away. Because they truly, those turnovers, man, they completely changed the course of a game.
My friend, thanks so much. Great to have you here and your perspective.
Thank you for having me, brother.